Sunday evening. It is approximately 8:03, and we are in the studio live tonight doing the show on WWCR 5070. Glad to have you aboard. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on air. We got a great program for you tonight. Hard-hitting facts, factual truth. You know, the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But it also said that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It also says, if my people shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will be merciful, heal their land, give them the good, and hide them from the evil. You see, evil is prevailing, if you will, all over the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a clear indication that we are in what is described in biblical terms, the last, the final, the conclusive, the climax of the last days. We've got nations rising against nation. We've got horrible religious wars, fervor pitched, people mad, people running to and fro seeking rest. What's wrong with this present generation? Well, the Bible is full of indicators, and the handwriting is on the wall, as Daniel prescribed to the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the first Babylonian kingdom, that they would be four kingdoms arise upon the earth. And these kingdoms would be diverse from each Babylon kingdom set up. Now, as we have progressed down through the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and the Medo-Persian and the Greek Empire, along with all of their powers, Alexander the Great conquering most of the earth, known earth at that time. And then we moved into what is known as the Holy Roman Empire. Now, what is significant about these four kingdoms that are up on the earth? These kingdoms are specifically identified in Scripture and prophesied that they would exist until the time of the end. Now, at the time of the end, there is supposed to be, according to clear scriptural teaching, that there will be what we describe as a climactic end or a beginning of the end or trouble times. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, our Almighty, who is precious and His word never fails, He's always on time, He's not late, but the war of the flesh man versus the spirit man. Now, who are these people of the flesh? These are not the people of Yahweh. Many will profess that they know Him in those days, and He will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Isn't that a strange statement to that our Creator, who is a judge of all, would make to a specific identification of the events of the last days? He said also that there would be signs in the stars and in the moon and in the planetary movements that are above our head. Well, on the 8th month and the 27th day of the third year, 2003, we had something to occur as a climactic event in heaven. Mars came in amazingly close for the closest it's been in over 60,000 years, and it won't return at this close proximity for another 60,000-70,000 years, which means that this is an astronomical event that bears looking into. Now, remember, he said, look for the signs. He said, a wise generation will understand. Daniel spoke about that, that there would be a specific group of people that would know the deceptive tradition of the flesh man. You see, we are creatures of habit. We are actually creatures of history. Now, we are creatures of science. We think that certain laws work within a science justification, and if it does, then everything is that way and nothing can be changed about it. We have long been lured asleep by someone, and we're talking about the Illuminati and the Council of the 13, the mighty ones that rule this planet. 3% of the world's population control 97% of its wealth, its power, and its influence. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that in the political scheme of things, in this country particularly, and I'll address this country, it generally runs a true course throughout the earth because of the political system that's governing the powers, and these powers are ordained by the Holy One, and I believe that, and so I'm not criticizing to try to change the government. Most people make a mistake that they want to preach against the government. They want to lash out. They want to rebel. They want to cause insurrection. And in doing so, the scriptures are quite plain that you will be delivered to the judge. You will be arrested, put in the jail, delivered to the judge. The judge will put you in innermost prison. And that's basically what has happened to those who violently oppose Babylon. Now, is that okay? It is with the Father, because the Father has specified, identified, and given this beast power a certain amount of time and power and its authority to rule upon the earth. The fourth kingdom, I believe we've now started into the final phase of the feet and the clay that are marred together and would try to mix its seed with the holy seed of Yahweh to deceive the very elect. And that's basically what has happened. Now, let me show you something. I'm going to talk to you tonight about one of the, perhaps the greatest mysteries on the planet. And I assure you that there's many that I know about, probably more, you probably know more than I do, and there's plenty to go around. We're talking of mysteries, unsolved mysteries, and things that cannot be actually looked into to the depth to give a satisfactory answer to why that these things cannot be solved. The greatest mystery on this planet is the bloodline identity of Christ. Now, I'll use Christ for the simple term. I don't really appreciate the term Christ because I believe it was a borrowed word from the Hindu language, Krishna, by the way, who I have nothing to do with. And the word Messiah in the Hebrew has been turned into the Greek kuros, or Christ, Christos, and things of this nature, and so we identify these words, so I'll use that for the sake of, you'll know who I'm talking about, Christ, his identity. Have you ever wondered about it? Have you ever been told that Christ was a Jew? Of course you have. You probably believe it right now, unless you're in the know. Now, if you're in the know, you're going to know that that is not a provable doctrine. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, now wait just a moment. I've heard all my life the preachers preach that the Jews are God's chosen people and Christ descended from the tribe of Judah or the Jews. Well, it's just not factual. It's not provable beyond a reasonable shadow of doubt. Well, can we prove his actual bloodline? Of course, I've done it many times here on WWCR 12.160. 3.210, and now 5070. We're now scheduled into 5070, and we're on every Sunday night at 8 p.m., brought to you through the courtesy of those who favor the truth. And we appreciate those who support us and those who have really got behind us. We had a wonderful brother. You can't identify him and give the name, but he is supporting our ministry, and it's been a tremendous blessing to me and Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, those who are the framework of our program here. And we're not in it for money, of course. We're in it for truth and those that love the truth and want the truth shared, that I can give them a truthful voice. I want to be found within the will of my Creator. And the Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And so then I'm going to try to endeavor to preach the gospel instant in season and out, to reprove and to correct with all long suffering, because I have many in opposition to the things that I teach. It's a very controversial subject that we do get into from time to time. However, the authority is the final word of God. Now, the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I have made this challenge before, that Christ cannot be proved that he was a Jew. Now, if he wasn't a Jew, what bloodline or what tribe, and we're going to get on the tribes and the identity, and I've done taught about the wandering tribes that are lost, and I believe that they're found in America, I believe they're found in the British Isles, I believe they're found in Germany, Scandinavian countries, up into Denmark, far north, and down into Canada, and into Australia, and Austria, and places like this that we have mentioned before, prior, to show you the disbursement of the 10 tribes that were scattered abroad. Now, let me show you a very, 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 very revealing scripture. Now, for your sake, you're going to have some teaching, and because probably you're dull of hearing, and you've probably never heard this, it's very controversial. People outright just say, oh, that can't be proven. I know who Jesus was. He was a Jew. And when preachers, by the literal thousands and hundreds of thousands, across our country and across the countries that I just mentioned, how could it be that God chose a people to be blind? Now, it's one of the most complex doctrines to try to get it across to the sleeping giant of the wandering stars, Israel, and those who have been bound by years of tradition. We lost our identity. We lost the name of our Creator. We have lost everything but God's love and eternal grace and salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Now you say, well, the Bible says, well, what if you deny him? He can't deny himself. If we don't know who he is, he certainly remains true that he does. And maybe, just maybe, that his grace being sufficient through his own purpose to blind you, that he chose the foolishness of preaching to bring you out of that blind state of blind Samson grinding at the granary of the wheels of this Babylonian empire that has always fought against the truth, fought against the people that have the truth. And let me give you a surprising scripture here. It's not surprising, probably, if you're a Bible reader, that the Bible said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it, broad is the way and wide is the gate, and many there be that go thereon. So these are the two choices that we have. Most of Jacob Israel. Now, I'm fixing to give you something that will probably surprise you in me saying this. Now, I know the Bible says all Israel will be saved. Don't worry about it. If the blindness in part has happened to Israel, it's happened because God blinded them. Our eternal Father, Yahweh, who is known as God, I'll use God for the sake and Christ, for your sake, not mine, but for yours, I'm going to say God, so that you'll know that there's one eternal God, one eternal Creator. He has one name, Yahweh. He has a people in the earth. They're here today, and the Bible said they would fill the earth, and then in the end, now listen to this, that if he didn't shorten the day, they wouldn't be any of his people, and I'm specifically talking about Israel, the miscegenation, all of the race mixing, all of these things that have been triggered into making it approved, things that were used to be appalling. You know, now women can parade naked and lip lock on our TV screens, and we get sexually motivated and highly disturbed to see these things. We want to make people think we condemn it, but we condone it by looking at this filth and supporting this filth and buying the products that this filth promotes. And I could give you a product in mind here, Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, that endorses most of this filth. These filthy advertisers. Now let me show you what they do. Television and the media of a vision tell a vision. And the vision that they tell is not the vision that the Father has given us in a righteous sense. There is no truth. Absolutely, I have not seen, except it be a documentary, and that they go over like a lead balloon when you get the truth. But anything that's evil, anything that will condone or support the world, because the Bible said the world will love its own. So if you're worldly, you're going to have a popular following. If you're a preacher and you preach worldly doctrine, you're going to have a worldly crowd that thinks they're right because the preacher told them that all they got to do is sign a church book and get a little church card that they were admitted to this church so-and-so and that they are true bona fide Christians and that they are worthy to take upon the honor of having been saved, quote-unquote, and that by this, they have the right to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But that's not so. You know, a tree by its fruit. They have no fruit. They have no love. They have no truth. I have been barred practically. I am not welcome in the established churches. And, of course, you would, if you hear the full extent of my teaching, you would know why. The Bible says the day will come. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy, and I'll declare unto you that by my age, I'm almost 70 years old, I have seen him come and I've seen him go. There is a day now that we are in that men will not endure sound doctrine. You can tell a lie. You can tell a fairy tale. You can learn to cry well. You can pull your hanky and wipe those crocodile tears, and you can have people weeping with you when you're not even weeping. You're weeping for the poppy. You're weeping, actually, for Talmuds, as they were in the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. These are the same Baal prophets that pulled all of this stunt back in. It's the same old spirit for the same old age, doing the same old thing, because the Word of God declares that there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. I'm beginning to feel the anointing of the great divine grace and the Shekinah glory of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to hold or contain my enthusiasm for truth when it begins to boil up in my blood. And I feel this fire burning in my bones. I know I'm on national radio. And I know that I must contain and refrain from going to the extreme of bringing the revelated truth in its fullness, because the Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'll tell you this much and declare it. Christ was not a Jew. Now, you say, well, if Christ wasn't a Jew, then we've got a problem. Because I've always been taught, well, matter of fact, I taught it myself, and I've told you many times, that Satan can deceive the very elect if it's possible. Now, if you're hungry, now the Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you've got a hungry soul, man, I'm telling you, praise Yahweh for those who hunger and thirst and are willing to put their pocketbook with a gift of helps. You see, most people want to hear a preacher preach hard and tell the truth. But most of them don't want to give him the gift of helps, which is going in their back pocket, because you know that a few wants to hear the truth. Many wants to hear the dark side, or the false side, or the lie side, or the ear-tickling side, or the soothing side, soothsayers, as it says in the Bible. They want to hear that side of the equation. But you see, when you bring hard facts, hard-hitting, cold, hard-hitting facts, it cuts people to the heart. And so, therefore, they clam up. They refuse to support a ministry like I've got, a small ministry that is directed through the love of a few, and we hope to reach the many. Now, your problem is this, being able to discern between right and wrong, up or down, in or out, on or off, hot or cold, light or dark. See, that's your dilemma. Now, if you're not concerned enough about your own soul, now, the Bible says, what would you give in exchange? Oh, yes, you've got your church card. Oh, yes, you've got a favorite seat in the church. Oh, yes, you're recognized as one of the deacons. And I'm telling you, folks, this is pathetic. I've never seen such a dumb generation of people when it comes to the Word of God. Most people have become so apathetic about, I'm talking about those who are really wanting the truth, because there's none in these bell boxes. What little is there is covered up. Remember what the Bible said? Christ warned us. Beware of the Pharisees. Beware of the scribes. Beware of those who say and do not. Do not after their works, he said, because they say and do not. From such turn away, Paul said. So, when the truth has come in its application of piercing, even dividing asunder right down to the joint and the marrow of the bone, where the truth gets into the heartstrings and begins to tug away and begins to persuade you to take on the divine, holy, magnanimous, magnificent name, that you would understand and comprehend that the truth is only for the few and not the many. So you see, going in, I've got probably 3 strikes against me because I'm not appealing to the crowd. If I lied, if I was in a traditional church, if I wore the cloth of the clergy, and I love the greetings in the marketplace and the praise that they heap on these false prophets, I'm telling you, they draw big salaries to lie. Where I draw a small salary, living on faith, I do not have any ventures outside the ministry. I don't play golf. I don't play horseshoe. I don't play mama peg. I don't play all these silly games. I don't indulge in any of these things. I don't own a farm. I don't own any land. I don't own an automobile, although I have one available to take me places and take me to the meetings with the grace and the love of those that love me, provide those things necessary to see that if there's a desire or there's a people hungry somewhere in the United States of America, I take it to them. Now, I drove for thousands of miles to get to 3 or 4, whereas these preachers will not even schedule a meeting as they fly across the country in their Learjets in this very, very convenient comfort zone that they have cushioned around them to appear in stadiums that have to hold at least 75 to 100,000 before they'll even make an appearance, and that has to be a guarantee. Well, how is it that a preacher can get up and preach that Jesus was a Jew, and thousands of people will applaud, holler, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. And I can get up and say, I'll give you $5,000 to read where Jesus was a Jew. And only about 10 people get the message and call me up and say, Pastor Buddy, where is it recorded? What is this strange doctrine that you're teaching? I've never heard it before, and I've had people to do so to tell me, I've never heard this before. If you're right, my heavens, look at the people that are wrong. Well, you see, I tell people this. They say, oh, you couldn't be right. He's not. I've never heard of this name you preach, and I've certainly never heard of the doctrine. You can't be right because there ain't many of you. And you know what my answer to that is? It's obvious. I tell them, well, we're not the many, we're the few. We're those that have purposed in their heart, night and day, to preach the gospel, to be instant in season and out, to bring the truth rightly divided and put it on your plate if you can receive it. Now, the Bible said it'd be better for you not to hear the truth than to hear it, not obey it. So then you're bound by the knowledge that the preacher brings. And the reason that most people are not condemned, the most likely reason, is because they've never heard the truth. You see, when Stephen was preaching in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, he said, I see the heavens opened, and he said, I see the glory of God, and I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, it's obvious in the 59th verse, he explains it quite well. And he called on God and said, Yahweh, now it says Jesus in your King James Bible, but Jesus is a Greek-Latin expression. And for those of you that use Jesus, I believe you use it in error. However, I'm willing to suffer with you till you really, really, really understand the true name. You know, you can call me Fred, Bill. My name is Buddy. That's my nickname. My real name is Eugene. See, I hadn't told you that, so you really didn't know me either, did you? You just know me as Pastor Buddy. Everybody calls me Buddy because I'm everybody's buddy. Until I preach them the truth. Then I become their enemy for telling them the truth. Now, I have a few friends that support me on the ministry that really believe in what I say. Well, I'm a serious student of the Bible. And when I go to these festivals, we attend three every year, and we'll tell you that we got one coming up. Matter of fact, here in October, on the October the 9th, on the Gregorian calendar, which will be, if you look on your calendar, you'll see that's a full moon. You see, the Bible says to begin the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th of a month. Well, the 15th happens to be the Hebrew mid-month point where it's always a full moon. Now, I've told you about the Sabbath. I've taught you about how to keep the time count, how Satan has come in through the Gregorian system and the Jewish line and give you Saturday as the seventh day and Sunday as the first day of the week, and millions and millions and millions of people being deceived by the time changes. Daniel 7:25 says they will, and they have. You can rest assured that they have changed times to where man don't even really know what time it is in this generation. But getting back to my main theme here tonight, I want you to really comprehend this. Now, you're going to have to call me for information. We got plenty of information on this to prove our subject. Christ was not a Jew. You need to write for it. You need to make an effort to study to show yourself approved. Now, if you don't have any money, and you're broke, and you can make a telephone call, or you can get a postage stamp, 37 cents, and just drop a little note to Pastor Buddy, Dr. Gary, Dr. Jack, any three, and we'll see that you get some conclusive information on the divine covenant and the Bible. We'll teach you the issues of truth. Christ was not, emphatically, was not a Jew. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I really asked the preacher the other day about what you said. And my preacher told me, well, now, I don't know where you heard that. But that's not true. Everybody in their right mind knows that Jesus was a Jew, and that Mary was a Jew, and that Abraham was a Jew, and Isaac was a Jew, and Jacob was a Jew, and everything that proceeded forth from their bowels was Jews, or Jewish. And my answer to that is false. That's an assumption. Well, you say, well, the Bible says that they called him a Jew. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Glory to God. When they saw him on the torture stake, they said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Well, you can accuse me of being an idiot. Probably most of you think I am. That don't make it so. You see, the world has got so out of shape with reality that the Bible says that the time will come, and believe me, it's here, the time will come that they will call evil good and good evil. So see, if I'm preaching good and you think it's evil, I could be preaching... Satan and his tricks, Satan and his devices. Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. I hope you're not. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an awesome time here. Hey, we're down here in the last days. I'm warning you, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, in Revelation 1 and 8, he says he's coming back as Alpha and Omega. In other words, that's in the Greek alphabet. Of course, the New Testament is written, and some preachers actually believe that the New Testament was written in Greek. That's an erroneous assumption. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, the oldest manuscripts that we have goes back to the Greek text, glory to God. That don't mean that it was originally wrote in the Greek. Here's what I believe, and I'll pass this along to you for what it's worth. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, Paul made this statement, think about it, I know that after my departure, in other words, after I get through penning these things that are written for you that you might be saved, And the Bible says the things that are written that you might be saved, but if all the things that are written should have been written, even the world itself couldn't contain the books therein that could tell you about this marvelous truth where that they've hid somebody. I'm not going to point any fingers. I'll let you do the deciding. It's your soul that lays in the balance. You see, if I told you the truth and you got mad at me, but you obeyed what I said and you went to heaven, then I told you a lie and many believed it and you went to hell, where would I suffer the most vengeance of having to deal with those that I deceived? You see, the Bible said that we'll give an account for every work that we do, whether it be good or evil. We'll be brought into judgment, and it would be better for us not to have man's blood. You see, if I deceive you or tell you something contrary to the word of God and it leads you astray, I have caused you to stumble. And your blood, if so be that what I have said is a direct result of deceiving you or confusing you or turning you away from the truth, then your blood will be upon my hands, upon my head. And the hand of him that wells the sword of vengeance, and the Bible said, I know him that says vengeance is mine, and if they that broke the law died without mercy, consider it yourself that in the end time judgment, oh yeah, you can see Miss Britney Spears and Madonna kissing, lip locking on the television. It's all over the internet now, by the way. This marvelous event, oh, world applauded. It got national publication from every Jewish newspaper owned, media controlled operation outlet in the world. Madonna and Britney kiss on television. What a marvelous scene. Oh my God, how repulsive. Have you ever read Romans? The Apostle Paul, you think Apostle Paul got a big charge on that? You think he'd have got sexually aroused to see that garbage? I doubt it. When he specifically condemned it, didn't condone it, he condemned it, spoke out against it. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, and other scriptures as well, I'll quote Romans for you specifically that you could get your start there, then you'll see exactly what happened. That it was not pleasing to God Almighty. And now see, it's been long. It's been about 20 years since these lesbians came out on television. I can remember one of the first ones that came out that declared herself out of the closet and free and liberty in the 60s, that she was a lesbian. She played tennis. She's world famous. And matter of fact, I think it was two of them that became probably the most noted famous stars in the tennis game. Now we have movie stars, and they're making movies to this effect to arouse the flesh of man, the fleshy people, to be aroused to see this transgression, trans meaning opposite or different than what is normal. Now that's what Paul said here in the book of Romans. He says, without natural or without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection. Now, natural affection doesn't give a man an affection to be attracted to a man. Natural affection doesn't do that. Now, if it's abnormal or perverted in any way, your affection can go to, be drawn to another male. And that's what we call homosexuality, or in a male's case, we call them gay. Queers. They've got a program now on the Queer Eye. I don't know, something to that effect. But it's making national headlines, and it's getting a lot of airplay around the world, and people love to see men kissing. It is an allure of the strange flesh. That's you see, it's something that some people have never seen. And to see this causes a morbid sort of reaction to the flesh man. And he gets a charge of that, and he gets a kick, and he thinks, well, oh my God, I'd like to see some more of that. I like to have this feeling. Whereas if they see a man kiss a woman, it's just natural. And you think, well, those two are in love. The more they kiss, the more you know they're in love. That's natural. See, that doesn't arouse the flesh. It's a natural thing. That's why it says here, without natural affection, and filled with all unrighteousness. Not righteousness. This is not right, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care who condones it. Now the churches are condoned. The pastor's saying, well, you know, there's lifestyles that we don't approve. See, instead of coming out and condemning it outright and speaking out against it, now we are having our rights to speak the name of God or display the Ten Commandments. Judge Moore in Alabama is an example. When he had this great block of stone chiseled with right out of a rock that had the commandments, the Ten Commandments, that's basic fundamental structure work for the Christian faith. It should be. Now, did you know that more Christians are against Mr. Moore for his stand to keep it in the courtroom or the courthouse than they are against it? Can you believe that? Did you know that the Southern Baptists, and I'm not picking on the Baptists because they certainly ain't no worse than the Nexons I could name, and I could name several. Most of them are all guilty of this. But he's just an example here. He came out publicly and said that although he didn't condone taking God or the commandments or the right to pray or read the Bible out of our schools, with all this other filth that he won't mention that's been allowed by his neutrality to come into our schools, to fill your children's minds with other things other than the Bible or the fear of God or loving the first commandment, second and third and fourth and fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. If you do this, if you keep the first two, you're doing very well. Matter of fact, you are not even allowed to have any of the above, especially the first one. To love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12, 28 and 29. What's going on here, Pastor Buddy? The condoning of evil and unrighteousness is rampant. Even pastors and preachers to appear to be popular without raising too much stink. You see, if you are against race mixing, that you say that you believe it's wrong for a black man to marry a white woman or a white woman to marry a black man, if you speak out against that, you're racial. You are a racist. If you see two gays lip-locked and you want to get a Bible and start preaching on the street and pointing out that actual example there, then they will say that their civil rights has been violated and they will judge you under the hate crime law of Patriot Act number 2, and they will cast you into the innermost prison for voicing your opposition to the miscegenation, the sexual perversion, or anything else that goes on without the approval of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation has gone to hell in a handbasket as fast as any nation in history. And let me remind you that all of these Babylonian kingdoms that were mighty and great that you can read about in the Bible, and it's an example, and I'll just quote the last kingdom, Babylonian kingdom, that was destroyed with the Roman, Holy Roman Empire, when they began to condone in Rome, in the Senate, gays, homosexuality, both men and women, rampant, read the history of Rome and the Holy Roman Empire. I've got a whole set of history on the Holy Roman Empire, and what led to its downfall was the tolerance of miscegenation and sexual perversion. It will destroy any nation and any people that condones the mixing of the bloods when the Father said that every seed should remain pure and to itself, and our Heavenly Father strongly opposed it, and now it takes men with backbones as big as a saw log that's got enough gumption and nerve to stand up and preach the gospel to these people that will say, oh, I believe what Pastor Buddy's saying, but I don't want to get involved. Sooner or later, he's going to get in trouble, glory to God, and I wouldn't want to have some trouble. You already got trouble, and if you condone it, you're worse than the people that are doing it by knowing better and yet speaking not against it. That's a hypocritical stand, and ladies and gentlemen, one of the seven things that God hates is a hypocrite. And we got plenty of them that are sitting on the fence, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Is that what the old lingo goes, I guess? The name of God is blasphemed, knowing that these which do certain things that I have discussed here on this program, that they are not worthy of the kingdom of God, and no wonder they don't know who Christ is. No wonder they don't know his nationality. Christ was not a Jew. Who's condoning all these things? Is it not the liberal Jewish press that's controlled? Did you know that 97% of the media exchange in America and Great Britain and Australia and Germany and Denmark and the Scandinavian countries, where God's peculiar people congregate in mass, did you know that 97% of the controlling media is owned by the Jewish exchange, and they call themselves God's chosen people, when they will take a bulldozer and bulldoze down a man's home and shoot his little three-year-old child in the chest with an M16 supplied by the giant corporational influence of the lobbying power to gain support, to condone such practices and kill and maim, and we call it liberation. And when people oppose it and try to throw rocks and slingshots, we call them terrorists, those that's stirring up trouble. You know, the world would rejoice if all the Arab people of the earth vanished overnight. But let me remind you of a great prophecy in the Bible of Genesis chapter 27 that Almighty God says that this sword of Ishmael, the father of the Arab race, that these people will have a sword in their hand till kingdom come. And by thy sword shalt thou live, Genesis 27:16, but thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck. Ladies and gentlemen, are we headed for a disaster in the Middle East? We're in a quagmire in Iraq. We're only in there to get the oil. I just hate to say that. We're in there to defend the faith. Saddam was a terrorist. I mean, that was the most evilest, corrupt government on earth. Are you kidding? Ladies and gentlemen, let's get real here. Those poor people weren't bothering anybody. And yet, the press did such a marvelous job of turning the opinion of the majority of the voters to favor what our president did. And I'll remind you, that when you're down at the gas pump, sticking that $3 a gallon gas, soon to be probably, because gas has rose an average of 13% just in the last 3 weeks. And gas now is the highest it's been in years and years and years. But we're over there to defend our national security, and we got to have all that. Do you have to kill all those people and destroy their infrastructure and destroy their homes? No wonder they're rising up, and the sword of these Ishmaelites are coming against our soldiers and killing them and sniping them, and we're having more casualties now after the war than we had. We won the war, but we're losing the peace. And the amount of oil that we're stealing and pumping out, as they're pumping it right now, ladies and gentlemen, and I hate to remind you where it's going, I would tell you, but you think I'm prejudiced and got an axe to grind. If you don't know, well, you don't even need to bother to be listening to me no way, because I'm not going to get to you no way. If you don't know by now, I'm not going to tell you. I'll just let you guess where the oil is going right at this moment. We're talking about literally millions of gallons flowing through a pipeline right now secretly from all the wells, is now going to a certain country to enhance and enrich these oil barons. And I'll remind you that the Bush family has long been in the oil business. Would it be an advantage to the Bush family to have higher gas prices? Would 5 cents a gallon maintain that for a period like of 90 days? would that enrich the generations of Bushes to come? We're talking about literally billions of dollars here, folks. We're not talking about trying to chop out cotton here with a hoe and trying to make a meager living down on some Arkansas farm. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in some of the most disgraceful times for a people that have been so deceived, and yet we have so much potential to have the truth and to help people and to be a blessing as we were designed to be and told that we should be. And yet he says, if you don't do these things, in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, I said before you, a blessing and a curse. Christ was not a Jew. He never was a Jew. He never will be one. It was from a different bloodline. You need to stay tuned. I'm going to be really hammering on this in the next few issues of who Christ really was. Dr. Gary sent me a little questionnaire this morning that was very delightful. I really got a charge out of the way he puts things into perspective and the questions he had to ask. I wish I had time to read it to you, and I don't now. But some of the answer questions, I might just share that with you next time I get on, about the things that you need to ask yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in one of the most perilous times that this world has ever known, and yet more people are eating, drinking, and being merry. We're service-injured people now. We are just in services, food services, music services, industry. We're the biggest smut peddlers on the earth. There's more sin, more people in prison, more violence, more rape, more murder, more everything in America than any nation in the earth. And you know why? It's because we condone it, and we take Well, we won't stand against it. That's what I'm talking about. This is Pastor Buddy. I got to get out of here. My time has come and gone. Let me give you my mailing address real quick. I need to hear from you tonight. I'm live at the studio. If you'd like to call me and talk to me, you can do so. I'd be glad to take your call as many as I can get. I've only got one phone line tonight coming in. I apologize for that, but we do have voicemail. So if you beep in and I have so many calls stacked up waiting, then you'll know that if you go to voicemail, if you will politely leave your name and your address and your telephone number or both, Pastor Buddy will make a point that I'll get back with you as soon as possible. I promise you that. And if so be that, I can take your call and I can get your address and you'd like to share some information, and I'll do that. Well, call me 1-423-626-2172. That's area code. 423-626-2172. That's all you need. That's the number you need. 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, just simply address your mail, Pastor Buddy. That's all you need, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's NEWTAZE. WELL, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, I'll try to get it in for you, so if you've missed some of it, I'll be back and give it to you just a little bit later. Now, let me tell you about Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. Get in the calls, telling me you're a pastor, buddy. Dr. Gary is my principal supporter here on WWCR. He pays the bills every month. He does all the bookkeeping. He takes care of all the burden of paying. We had a wonderful brother, like I said, that sent us a lovely offering and helped us out tremendously. I took a big load off of Dr. Gary and myself. We don't have to worry so much that the pressure was on, and we were down to the count. We were just praying. And Dr. Gary and I specifically prayed for somebody that Father would lay a burden of help upon their heart. And so help me, this brother came through to give us tremendous help. And we appreciate that. Praise God. But we need so many more. If I could get 100 like this brother that just signed on to support us, if I could get 100 people just like him, I could take this message around the world about 5 times a week. Praise Yahweh. Right on the mighty voice of Worldwide Shortwave, WWCR, and other radio stations. So I need your help. Put my voice there. I'll preach it. I'll tell you the truth. Praise Yahweh. I'll back up. I'll confirm it. See, I'm willing to pay if I preach anything wrong. I've offered to go into churches, and they won't let me in. I've offered to say I'll bring the King James Bible, the one that they have on their stand. I've offered to do that, and I would offer them $1,000 if I ever misquoted one scripture or preached a doctrine that wouldn't be substantiated with the mouth of two or three witnesses, and they won't even let me in their pulpit. Why? Because they say, oh, you're a troublemaker. Oh, boy, you cause trouble. People start asking questions. Well, that's the problem. They don't want you to ask any questions. They just want you to be like a bird sitting in the bird's nest with your mouth open so that you can swallow anything they drop into it. I want to drop some truth into your heart. If you've got a heart of gold, then you need to let it be put in the fire. See, you ain't tested. You may be a good person. There's a lot of good people. A lot of good people going to hell simply because they won't have no truth. A lot of good people don't want to get involved. A lot of good people don't want to hear the truth. A lot of good people don't want to disrupt their lives. A lot of good people don't want their wife to leave them. A lot of good people don't want their husband to leave them. You say, well, that's a buddy. Well, if you preach something that caused all that problem, we don't want to need to hear you know it. Well, let me show you something. Our father said, I didn't come to bring peace. I've come to bring division, separate mom against dad and all that. You know what the score is. That's a burden you pay. That's a price you pay. But you got to be willing to do that and to put on the truth. And refusing not. Pilate asked, he said, what is truth? Messiah didn't open his mouth. He wasn't worthy of it. Let me tell you, you got to be worthy of this truth. That's Dr. Jack now. 1-888-281-7320. These are men that have products to sell to you. They've got wonderful products. They can give you a catalog of their products, good products, coconut oil, miracle tooth soap, health products related to your health, and things like that. Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, two of the most wonderful men in the world. So you give a call, tell them you heard Pastor Buddy on the Shepherd's Call. That's 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary. Dr. Jack is 1-888-281-7320. These are toll-free numbers between the hours of 9 and 5 business. Give them a call and tell them that you heard the Shepherd's Call and you'd like to support us. Now, I'm going to give you my telephone number again. Area code 1-423-626-2172. My address, my mailing address is Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, two words, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Don't forget to write me a letter. I need to hear from you this week. Let me know that you heard me on the radio here on WWCR 5070. That's where we're coming through tonight. If you hear us on a replay, we're live on Sunday night. This is the 31st day of August. We're fixing to come into what in scriptural terms is the sixth month. We're soon coming to the seventh month where we'll enter into Tabernacles on the 9th of October, the year 2003. We'll be in Tabernacles in Andrews, North Carolina. There'll be 8 days of glorious fellowship, teaching, Bible instruction, singing, camping, rejoicing, fellowship. Oh, it's a wonderful praise, Charlie. So try to attend if you can. Let me know if you plan to come, and I'll make sure that Dr. Jack and Chris get this message tonight. Yahweh is wanting to bless you, and tonight, if you will stand in the way, see and ask for the old path, the Bible said that when the student is ready, the teacher will come. May Yahweh bless you until I see you next Sunday night. This is Pastor Buddy saying, Yahweh bless you and keep you, and may you know the truth, and the truth make you free. Thank you.